Celebrating Maine authors with Read Me. A few activities have flourished during the pandemic: baking, bicycling, and reading. The book industry has seen a surge in readers, publishers reporting double-digit increases in book sales, and Maine books are the cream of the crop. So what are you reading? Have you by chance been taking part in this year's Read Me Book Club? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, our guests are the author who chose this year's Read Me selections, Jerry Boyle, and the two authors whose books he chose, Carrie Arsenal, who wrote Milltown, and Matt Cost, who wrote Mainly Power. Call in with your thoughts on these books, or let us know what your favorite books have been as you've hunkered down during the pandemic. Maine Calling is next, but first, this. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. For the past few years, it has been our pleasure to partner with the Maine Humanities Council and the Maine State Library and their Read Me program. Read Me is an effort to get people all over Maine reading the same two books. Each year, a prominent Maine author gets to select a work of fiction and a work of nonfiction for Read Me. This year, Jerry Boyle had that honor. He chose Carrie Arsenault's Milltown, Reckoning with What Remains, and Matt Cost's Mainly Power. Jerry Boyle is the author of 15 mystery novels, including the dozen installments in the Jack McMurrow series. So I am pleased to welcome all of you to Maine Calling. We invite your comments. Are you readers of these three? We'd love to hear what you think of their books. We also would love to know what book you've read recently that you really liked, especially a Maine author. What are you looking forward to reading at the beach or the lake or in the hammock this summer? You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page or to Instagram now, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Carrie, Matt, Jerry, welcome. And Jerry, I'm going to start with you. It's kind of a big responsibility to be asked to come up with one work of fiction and one work of nonfiction, especially when we have so many astonishing Maine authors. How did you choose?
Well, it was a great responsibility. It was partly because I know many of them, and so it's a small world of Maine authors. But also, I really had to think about what books I wanted to spread around, and it came pretty easily, actually. So the first book, Milltown, Carrie's book, I was drawn to it naturally. I lived in Rumford, where the book is set, back many years ago. For about 7 months, it was my first newspaper job out of college, and I found it this absolutely amazing place. And I relocated there pretty directly from Manhattan, so it was kind of a stunning juxtaposition. And then I opened her book. It had been recommended by a couple of people who grew up in that area to me already, and within five pages I was in, and I felt like, gosh, this is the place that I was so fascinated by, so much so that I set my first crime novel there. And so it captured the kind of idiosyncratic world of a mill town so well, and some of the issues. With Matt, I saw the cover of Mainly Power, and I saw that he had been compared to Robert B. Parker's Spencer. And so I knew Bob Parker, and he was quite helpful to me early in my career, fellow Colby alum, by the way. And so I felt like that was kind of preordained in some way. And so I got the book, began reading it. And I'm really, really fond of the genre. You know, it goes back to Dashiell Hammett and James M. Cain, Raymond Chandler. And I love to see it continued. And I liked the novel. It didn't take itself too seriously. There was humor. It was kind of people knocking around a small town, which is a lot of what Maine is like. And so the choice was made, and I did not look back.
All right. Well, congratulations, Carrie and Matt. Carrie, I'll start with you. And I do want to say to our listeners who maybe did not hear the program, Carrie has been on Maine Calling before to talk about Milltown. We'll link to that program. So if you can't get enough of her today, you can go back and listen to that. But Carrie, it's interesting to me that we talked when you were on Maine Calling before a lot about the substance of Milltown, but thinking about it more broadly and the role that a book like that serves. You wrote to us that it's a correction to myths. What kind of myths do you believe persist in a town like Rumford, and how do you, as an author, seek to correct them?
Thanks, and hi everybody. Thanks, Jennifer, for that question. You know, there are so many myths about Maine, starting with the way life should be. You know, every time I cross into Maine and I see that sign, you know, it suggests this American dream, which is a dream of meritocracy. And I think which functions as a premise that we are all equal, that we start on a level playing field. Like if we work hard enough, we can achieve anything, right? So the rise and fall of our own capacity, I feel like, has always been a myth, really, because disenfranchised people, working class people, we don't start out equal to those who are more privileged. And then you combine that with 40 years of policy that value corporations over humans. The dream, the American dream, is not equally accessible. So some of us also were poisoned by that American dream, you know, the Industrial Revolution. So how is that American dream, you know, part of this vacation land myth? And that's one big myth that I sort of try to operate in the book. And that's not to say that to take Maine down as like Maine is a beautiful state with incredible people, but it's a complicated state. And it's a complicated place. So I wanted to like look at both like the other side of that myth, really.
All right.
And what perpetuates it.
So Milltown is about your hometown of Rumford and some of the people who have gotten not only cancer, but other issues in the town. But I really hate characterizing it that way because it's so much more. It's so much a story of an entire community and a real American community. Matt, Jerry said that your book doesn't take itself so seriously. So I have a feeling there's going to be a change of tone in the questions I'm asking you. Tell us about your protagonist and the idea for your trilogy of detective stories.
Well, I certainly don't take myself all that seriously, so my books probably get that tone as well. I will have to say that Carrie and I realized before the show that we both grew up in Milltowns and graduated high school the same year and played each other in sports. So that was sort of interesting. But Gough Langdon originated with an idea that Maine Yankee, the nuclear power plant, had very little security here in Maine. And I would talk to clam diggers that would go clamming in the flats right there, and there was no security. And I thought to myself, what would happen if somebody were to use that for nefarious purposes? And that's sort of the origination of the idea behind Mainly Power and the idea that what happens if something goes wrong at a nuclear power plant? And that kind of gets us off and running.
All right. So, Jerry, I'm going to turn to you here. I think anybody who's a writer of detective novels has to have a very active imagination. Do you see something? Do you see potential everywhere you go?
You really have to. I do see potential everywhere I go. I think partly is being a newspaper columnist for many years. You're always moving to the next column. So everything was fodder. And if it wasn't precisely right for a column, you could twist it into something. So, because it was kind of survival. I see mystery, potential mystery novels everywhere. And when you can only do one every year or two, the hard part is deciding what subject you're going to spend a year with. I think I always say that writers are great eavesdroppers. You know, back in the time when you could sit in a McDonald's, I would often go in there, buy coffee, and just listen to people. And, you know, they probably thought I was kind of the strange guy in the corner. But I think that you listen to people's speech, you listen to people's, the rhythm of their speech, so you can write dialogue. And you come out of, any of those conversations that you've inserted yourselves into with the beginning of a character. And often the beginning of a character is the beginning of an entire novel. And so the book I'm writing now started that way. And it just kind of blossomed from there.
Matt, yours is Mainly Powers, the first of a trilogy. Have you written all three?
Yes, actually. The other two are also out. Mainly Power is followed by Mainly Fear, which is set during the ice storm of 1998. Again, the concept being, what would happen if people decided to burglarize houses during this ice storm? And then I jump a little further into the future with Mainly Money, which just came out in March of this year. And that surrounds the blackmailing of a U.S. senator.
Aha. Well, we are speaking with authors Carrie Arsenault, Jerry Boyle, and Matt Cost. Matt and Carrie's books have been chosen as part of the Read Me program that you may be participating in through your local library. More than 70 libraries taking part in Read Me. If you've read one of their books, or if you have other books to recommend this summer, give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. As always, you can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, or go onto our Instagram page or our Facebook page or Twitter. We try to keep up with it all. Carrie, your book has had quite a reception. I can't tell you how often on Main Calling, if we're having a conversation about any kind of topic that is even tangentially related to what it's like to be in a mill, or to the Maine environment, or to rivers, people will call and say, read Milltown by Carrie Arsenault. And I'm wondering if here during this pandemic year, when everybody's been so isolated, if you've had a sense of the impact that Milltown has had in this state.
Wow, that's a really good question. I really don't have any idea. I haven't been to Maine since before the book was published, and I've done about 70 events online all over the United States, and I really don't have a concept. It's really hard to gauge. But that said, I want to go back to some. Can I go back to what Matt said about his book? And it's connected to sort of the question that you're asking too. Is that he's done Mainly Power, Mainly Fear, and Mainly Money, and those are the exact topics that my book is about too. So there's some thread of that, and I also think of mystery. The three of us are all really. This was a mystery to me in a way. You follow my investigation into this book, and so if it has any impact on Maine, I hope that people are willing to sort of follow their own curiosity about what's happening in their own towns.
I want to read here a couple emails that have already come in. Here's an email from Jean. I loved a book by Maine author Zinnia Abbott. The book is called Stealth Camping with Hundreds of My Closest Friends, a memoir of her cross-country road trip where she slept out in her minivan without ever spending a dime for lodging. She had lots of adventures and visited an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in all 48 U.S. states. I felt like I was riding along with her. So that's Stealth Camping with Hundreds of My Closest Friends by Zinnia Abbott. And then Kelly on Facebook just came across, says, I just came across an older novel, Strong for Potatoes by Cynthia Thayer. She lived, or may still live, in Gouldsboro, Maine, operating an organic farm. The novel is wonderful, takes place in eastern Maine. So already a couple Maine authors who may not be household names recommended here, Zinnia Abbott and Cynthia Thayer. Jerry, I'm going to ask you to add to that. Who are some other authors and some other books that you want to recommend for our audience today?
I'll recommend two or three. One is called Silence. It's a novel by William Carpenter, who, and it's just come out. It's about an Iraq war veteran who returns to his main coast hometown after being blown up and losing his hearing. And it's just, I'm only a third of the way in, and you know, I'll read more of it later today. It's really a remarkable look at not only what veterans go through, but also what it's like to leave a hometown and return. I think even without that trauma, it's really nicely written. I also want to recommend one that I just finished. I read in two sittings, and it's been out a little while, and it's called One Goal by Amy Bass. And this is about the Lewiston High School boys soccer team that won the state championship. And I found it was interesting. It's kind of reminded me a little bit of Carrie's book about how it just sort of captured a community and the dynamics of it really well. And it's also, if for people who know the story, it is a sort of a feel good sort of story that I think everyone needs right now. I'd also like to recommend, on a whole totally different chat, a book called Down East Genius by Earl Smith. And this is about Maine inventors. And, you know, I don't know what it is about Maine. We are smart and we have real Yankee ingenuity. And so this is a kind of vignettes about all the inventions that have kind of made, from the donut hole to the zigzag stitcher to the machine that made paper bags was invented here. In addition to the, you know, more common ones, toothpicks, moxie, earmuffs. And if I can go on one more, I'm going to say any novel by Ruth Moore. And she wrote in the 30s and 40s into the 50s on the Maine coast. And I go back to these books all the time. One of them was just reissued, Candlemas Bay. And they totally stand up to the test of time right now.
Jerry, I was behind a car in Portland the other day on High Street that had a bumper sticker that said, "I read Ruth Moore." And no, I have to ask you if I was behind you. Were you in Portland a couple days ago?
No, but if I can find out where to get those bumper stickers, I'm going to put one on my truck.
That's great. And I'm going to ask you and Matt after a break. But there's one call I'd like to go to before the break. Marianne calling from Stockholm. Hi, Marianne. Go ahead. I understand you're only available for a minute or two.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you. I love your show. And thanks for everyone who comes on it. I just had to call, though, and straighten the record. And the comment that some clam digger in Maine could breach security at Maine Yankee is just fiction. I was vice president and general counsel at Maine Yankee back when it was operating. And there was a very large security force, probably close to 100 people. We did active drills all the time. And so I know you're talking about fiction, and it was probably said just in fiction and jest, but I did want to just tell that story for the record, and I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Marianne. And Matt, your detective story is indeed fiction, correct?
It is fiction, but I was told by a clam digger that it would have been easy for them to walk in. And then I talked to a couple other people who backed that up. So maybe it was a conspiracy of clam diggers.
Well, thank you, Marianne, for calling. And we do need to take a break. We're going to get Carrie and Matt's recommendations when we get back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the Jackson Laboratory, a nonprofit on a mission to improve health through the power of genetics and genomics. Learn more at jax.org. And Central Maine Power, committed to a clean energy future for Maine. Learn more at poweronmaine.com.
On the next Science Friday, Dr. Anthony Fauci reflects on the 40 years since the first reported cases of AIDS.
I was there. On the ground when it was happening, we're desperately trying to find solutions which were elusive because we didn't even know what the etiology was of this devastating disease among mostly young gay men.
That's on Science Friday from WNYC Studios.
And that's coming up today at 2 on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public News Connect is a new initiative developed to provide the top stories from Maine Public News in translation. Thanks to the tremendous support of the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition, Jumbo Africa, and other community partners, Maine Public News Connect releases new video reports every Friday afternoon by 3 o'clock. Our pilot program includes news translated into French, Spanish, Portuguese, and Somali. You can find Maine Public News Connect reports online at mainpublic.org and on our social media platforms today at 3 p.m.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about the books that Jerry Boyle chose for this year's edition of Read Me. Jerry is the author of 15 mystery novels, including the dozen installments of the Jack McMorrow series. Matt Koss' novel, Mainly Power, was Jerry's fiction selection, And Carrie Arsenault's Milltown was Jerry's nonfiction selection. Share your comments or questions about these books or recommend other Maine authors for people to read this summer. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page or on Instagram, or give us a call 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Before I go to Kevin, I'm going to read an email. Before I go to Matt, I'm going to read an email from Kevin. I'm looking forward to a different book by Matt Cost. He not only writes mystery novels, but historical fiction as well. He has a book coming out called Love in a Time of Hate. So Matt, tell us about, we're going to have you toot your own horn, tell us about Love in a Time of Hate, and then give us some recommendations.
Love in a Time of Hate is about the fight for social and political equality after the Civil War, and it's based in New Orleans and spans about 8 years and is very historically accurate, but I do incorporate a few fictional characters and a fictional murder mystery into it as well. And it's a very turbulent time and a very violent time. And I see a lot of parallels between then and now. So I think it's an important book in that aspect. So that does come out in August. In terms of promoting some people, I have a feeling that that might've been Kevin St. Jar who asked that question. And he is one of the main authors that I was going to bring up today. He's written a fantastic book called Aliens, Drywall, and a Unicycle. Fascinating title. It's actually based in a fictional Maine town, New Hampshire town, about a newspaper reporter, and it's got this colorful cast of quirky characters, and it's just a real slice of life thing. So I would heartily recommend Aliens, Drywall, and a Unicycle. On top of that, there's a couple better known Maine authors that I would like to also comment on. I just recently read Bruce Robert Coffin's Within Plain Sight about his Detective Byron series. And I thought that's a fantastic read. And if you haven't read Bruce Robert Coffin, I would recommend that you start that series. And then this one comes with an apology. Joseph Souza, who wrote The Perfect Daughter. And the apology is that this is a thriller set in a fictional Maine coastal town. And I had written the first draft of a new series before I read this book, but my new series, which touches off with Wolf Trap in June, later this month, is in a similar fictional coastal Maine town to Joseph Souza's. So even some of the names are scarily accurate. And I know mine is loosely based upon Booth Bay Harbor. I don't know if Joseph did, but I just want him to know, if he is listening, that I did write the first draft of my book before reading his.
Oh, gosh. That's funny, Matt. Carrie, your turn. What would you like to recommend?
Oh boy, my books I want to recommend are outside of Maine. I may have failed the assignment, but the Penguin Book of the Modern American Short Story, which is edited by John Freeman, he put together this anthology as diverse as the landscape of America itself. It's like a Route 66 of literature. You know, we go through economic imbalance, ecological collapse, race, class, sexual freedom, migration, wealth, poverty, love, loss, humor, like everything across America, and revolution. It's really an incredible selection of modern American short stories. And then another book I'm reading now is The Hard Crowd by Rachel Kushner, which are brilliant essays and cultural criticisms from a brilliant mind. Kushner unravels ideas like by digging into them so hard, like one evolution at a time. We go from like Deborah Harry to motorcycles to East Jerusalem to nostalgia. And she's ultimately generative and generous. Let's see, I'm also reading a book called The Tiny Bee That Hovers at the Center of the World, which is forthcoming from David Searcy, who I met in a Texas residency last 2 years ago. And while most of us have become human inboxes, suffering under the weight of our digital convenience, Searcy is like plinking out these beautiful, thoughtful essays on his 1959 Swiss Hermes 3000. Anyway, he wades like deep into longing, loss, and other ambivalent paths about Texas. One other book, if I can, is a book called The Divorce. I'm reading right now, like this morning, by Cesar Ira. It's a small, tiny little novel that's layered and strange and beautifully written and profound. It starts at a cafe in Buenos Aires from the point of view of a recently divorced man. And we find ourselves reading about a set of odd coincidences set off by a biker who's passing by the cafe. And then without realizing it, we're suddenly delivered into a short circuiting of reality, which may be like divorce itself. I'm not even sure why the title, but anyway, those are a few books.
Well, you haven't finished it. That's right.
I haven't finished it. And then one last, if I can just squeeze this in, is forthcoming in October by Dave Eggers, The Every, which is, I just started it. This is what the publisher says about it, which is McSweeney's first as a hardback, then vintage 6 weeks later as a paperback. When the world's largest search engine social media company merges with the planet's dominant e-commerce site, it creates the richest and most dangerous and oddly enough, most beloved monopoly ever known, called The Every. He snaps into focus this reality that's current, but it's a reality he's been seen coming for years because he's been writing this book for years. Anyway, it's like dystopian technology without the tropes of a dystopian novel. Anyway, if you squint, it actually looks like nonfiction. So,
in case you're out there in radio land wondering, oh gosh, I don't have a pen, I haven't been writing these down, don't worry. We're going to make a list. Wait for it a little bit. It probably will be out next week, but we're going to have a list. We'll put it on our webpage and probably on our social media pages as well. So right now, though, I'd like to welcome Gigi Georges to the show. She is the author of Down East, Five Maine Girls and the Unseen Story of Rural America. Gigi turned to narrative nonfiction writing after a career in politics, public service and academia, and she is a former White House Special Assistant to the President. Gigi, welcome to Maine Calling.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Tell us about your book.
Well, Down East is a narrative nonfiction book. It's essentially an immersive look at rural Maine life and the power of place. It's set in Down East, Washington County, where I spent 4 years chronicling the lives of five young women who grew up there. I basically hung out with them, their families, teachers, coaches, the broader community, went lobster fishing, you name it, I did it. And what I found over those years might come as a surprise to many people. It recognizes, this book, the challenges that Washington County faces, and there are a lot, but it cuts against that dominant narrative of hopelessness and despair that we keep hearing so much about in a lot of rural accounts across America.
Mm. Well, congratulations on Down East. And Gigi, before we let you go, you want to join in and recommend a couple books that you've read recently, or and especially if they're by Maine authors, even if they're not, that's okay.
Oh, I would love to. I highly recommend two new novels that are by Maine authors. The first is Gregory Brown's The Lowering Days, which is set along the Penobscot River, and he's a first-time novelist. It is powerful, and it's hauntingly beautifully written. The second is a more familiar name, and that's Susan Conley, whose latest book, Landslide, is set on a Maine island, and it's just fantastic. I could not put it down.
Well, Gigi, thank you so much. And that's a great opportunity to mention that I hear Susan Conley's latest novel, Landslide, is also on Good Morning America's reading list for this year. So congratulations to Susan, who we've, of course, had on Maine Calling. And Gigi, thank you so much for calling in. Gigi Georges, the author of Down East, Five Maine Girls and the Unseen Story of Rural America. And on the line with us now is Stephanie Mulligan. She is the owner of McSee Books. Stephanie, thanks for giving us a call.
Hi, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Tell us about McSee Books. And I should say it's spelled Mick, S-E-A, as in
yes,
the sea.
Yes, it's an acronym for my family members. Matthew, Clara, Stephanie, Emmett, and Adelina. But very fitting, my first book that I had published is How to Catch a Keeper. I worked on a lobster boat for 8 years, so to piggyback off of some of Gigi's time spent there in Washington County. So truly essence of Maine is depicted in this nonfiction picture book. So maybe I am representing the kidlit community today a bit. And McSee Books is my publishing company. I am the editorial director. I fell into publishing. We are on track for 15 titles, New England based, within the next 2 years.
How old is McSee Books, Stephanie? You said 15 titles. 2 years old. A new publishing house. Wow.
March of 2019 in the mill town, Lincoln, Maine, which former mill town, I should say. And my father-in-law actually worked there for 40 years. So I can appreciate all of the writing that you all are doing to represent Maine and, you know, present a different side as well of these Maine rural communities.
And Stephanie, you said that you named a book that was a children's book. Are all How to Catch a Keeper, are all of the books McSee Books publishes children's books, or is there a variety?
For now, but I'm definitely open, you know, to publishing other genres as well. We're looking at middle grade novels right now. We have quite a few submissions.
Wonderful. Before we let you go, because it's the theme of the program, what are your recommendations for our listeners?
Well, truthfully, I've been reading a lot of kid lit lately, but I would like to recommend a book my mom is reading, and I know she's listening. Hi, Mom. And it's Shredding Paper. And I have not read it, but she is enjoying it.
That's right, that Michael Hilliard. Thank you so much for calling in, Stephanie. Good luck with McSee Books. I really appreciate you calling in. I want to go back to something that Gigi said, Carrie. I think I saw you nod when she recommended Gregory Brown's The Lowering Days. Am I right?
Yeah. So I've done events with both Gregory and Susan Conley about their books. And I loved both of them. And I feel like I also love that our books really intersected in so many ways, both Gregory and Susan's really. And like the speaker who was just on saying how, you know, we're presenting these kind of other facets of Maine landscapes and Maine place, which I love that in both Susan and Gregory's books.
We have an email here from Charlie who writes, that bumper sticker, I was talking about a bumper sticker I saw, that bumper sticker would most likely be Shelley Pingree's car. Elizabeth Ogilvy is another writer who wrote novels about Maine island life in the same bygone era as Ruth Moore. Are any of you familiar with Elizabeth Ogilvy? Jerry, were you nodding?
Yes. And I think that sometimes you think that Maine has changed. We talk about the different facets, but I think most recently with the Ruth Moore books, people don't change. And it's the same lives, the same pressures, the same relationships, the same joys and difficulties. And I think when you couple it with people from that era who are so observant, you know, some of that work from the fiction work from that time, both in the genre I work in and in general fiction, it's just really, really powerful and perceptive. I think it was a quieter time. People, I'm really fascinated by it. So I think that I hope that in some very small way, we start a whole new resurgence for fiction from that era, which you can still obtain. And so Ruth Moore's books are being reissued by Island Port Press, which I think is just a real contribution to Maine literary culture.
All right. Carrie and Matt, I know you both want to chime in here. Carrie, go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't read Ruth Moore, but I feel what you're saying about it feels very connected to Meredith Hall's book, Beneficence, I don't know if you've read that, but it takes place, you know, at the turn of the century, I think, and just very old, like the same kind of things that you could be talking about today. She was these characters are dealing with death and loss and love and, you know, those kind of complex feelings. They never do change.
Maine Beneficence was a Maine Public All Books Considered book club selection. We had 2,000 people on YouTube talking to Meredith about Beneficence, a beautiful book. Matt, you wanted to chime in. Go ahead.
It's kind of a little side angle here, but I was going to go towards Richard Russo and the books that he writes.
Of course,
yes. Compare them to what we're talking about, as well as Carrie's book and to a lesser degree, my books, which incorporate some of Madison and Skowhegan of small town life in Maine and just kind of the development of the characters and the people that live in those places. So the Richard Russo books seem to be belong in this conversation as well.
Sure. Well, we are going to take another quick break. If you'd like to recommend some books, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-399-3566. You can send a quick email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or join us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bangor Savings Bank, celebrating diversity in business with Greenlight Maine's Elevating Voices series, facebook.com/Elevating Voices Maine, and the law offices of Joe Bornstein, a statewide practice representing injured and disabled Mainers since 1974, joebornstein.com.
I'm Tanya Mosley. President Biden calls for action on guns after another mass shooting. Our political roundtable weighs in. Also, American gymnast Simone Biles is being praised for performing a move most thought impossible. We look at her career as she prepares for the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. That's next time on Here and Now.
And that's coming up today at noon on Maine Public Radio. In the last year, we have all been through a world of change, but we've done it together. Despite distance and challenges, Maine Public donors stepped up so this essential resource could be here for us all, fueling vital public health information through Maine CDC briefings, powering remote educational resources like the Learning Space for Maine Kids, and connecting us all to each other when we needed it most. After a challenging year, we are eagerly looking forward to tomorrow. Your donation at MainePublic.org today will power the trusted news and opportunities of tomorrow. Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today we are talking books, books that are part of the Read Me program and books that our guests and listeners are looking forward to reading this summer or would like to recommend. My guest today, Jerry Boyle, author of 15 mystery novels, including the dozen installments in the Jack McMorrow series. Jerry, do you just write all the time, all day, every day?
I wish I could. When I'm not writing all the time, I'm thinking about the writing all the time and thinking about the characters that are kind of swirling around in your head. And so I say that I have this really strange life filled with imaginary friends and like a 4-year-old. And so
sounds interesting.
It's mostly a blessing.
Oh, Carrie Arsenault is also with us. She is a book critic, editor, and author of Milltown, Reckoning with What Remains. And Matt Cost, also an author of many books, including the author of Mainly Power, the first of three Mainly Mystery trilogy. It features private detective Gough Langdon. Which books would you like to recommend? Call 1-800-399-3566. Brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or find us on Facebook or Instagram. We're going to go to Jane calling from Belgrade. Hi, Jane. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much. My comment is for Carrie Arsenault, and I grew up in Rumford from an infant to the age of 12. And when that book came out, I was just so thrilled, and I couldn't believe what a page turner it was. It wasn't drudgery. It was just so interesting. And when she started talking about walking through the tunnels and Amhi and everything, her writing is so descriptive and just so entertaining. And the book was so meaningful to me because I know so many people that had cancer. My mother died of leukemia, and I have a cancer blood disease, and I'm sure it's all from the mill. So I just think what her book was just an eye-opener and so much needed for the state of Maine.
Carrie, this is what I'm talking about. And thank you so much, Jane, for calling in. You probably don't have a sense of how many people your book has touched.
Wow, thanks, Jane, for calling in. I have received emails. My emails is online on my website, and I have received a lot of things from people. And it's sort of been interesting to feel like I've become sort of this container for other people's pain, and I'm okay with that. I can take it. And I'm super happy to hear that the book wasn't drudgery. I really appreciate that. Because I wanted to address something that Gigi said earlier. She was talking about, you know, here's another book that maybe perhaps has a happier ending. And mine doesn't really have a happy ending, because I felt like providing a happy ending would sort of give everybody the sense that everything's okay. And it's really not, because we still have so much work to do in Maine about environmental destruction and disenfranchised populations. Anyway, thanks, Jane.
Thank you so much for calling in, and best to you and to your family. I want to go to an email from Robert. I would like to recommend two mystery novels by Maine writer Sandra Neely. Her first novel, entitled Deadly Trespass, is about the reintroduction of wolves into the Maine woods as part of the backdrop of a murder mystery. The second novel is Deadly Turn, which is also a murder mystery associated with the rise of wind power, also set in the backwinds woods of Maine. Matt, what is it about power, power generation and mystery in Maine?
Well, certainly, you know, I think that, as Carrie alluded to earlier, kind of the concept of most stories, especially mysteries and things, revolve around the concepts of power, fear, and money. And those are very important. I actually have a fourth book in the Mainly Mystery series due out next January, and that's going to be called Mainly Angst.
Of course.
So now we're going to put angst on top of, you know, power, fear, and money. So I guess that would be my input into that.
And that would be the subtitle of my book. Sorry.
Oh, I just wanted to say, Jerry, do we have more than our usual share of mystery writers here in Maine?
I don't know what the usual share is, but I think that, I don't know which comes first, living in Maine or writing the mystery novels. There are people who have written about the kind of plethora of people writing crime here, and then they also always note that it's odd because it's a state that doesn't really have much of.
I know, that's the irony, isn't it? I think we are the lowest crime state, or one of them, but to have all these detective writers is really, it's humorous, I think. We're going to go now to Robin calling in. Robin Clifford Wood, also an author. Hi, Robin, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show today. Hello to you, Jennifer, Matt, Carrie, and Jerry. It's an honor to be here with you today.
Tell us about your most recent book.
So I have just published a book called The Field House, A Writer's Life Lost and Found on an Island in Maine. And I love the fact that Ruth Moore is coming up so much today, because Rachel Field, who is the subject of my book, was a contemporary of Ruth Moore's. And she spent, you know, 20 or 30 summers on Sutton Island, which is one of the cranberry isles off of Mount Desert. And she died suddenly and kind of mysteriously in her 40s. And there was quite a lot of tragedy around her death. And she left behind this house, which had some occupants afterwards, but it was empty for about 8 or 9 years before my husband and I stumbled upon it and purchased it in 1994. And so I became enchanted first by Rachel Field's works and then by the woman herself. I sort of became addicted to researching the mysteries of her life. There was this, you know, inappropriate marriage, and there were whispers of infertility, and maybe she had a child or maybe not, but where did that child go? And maybe a mad sister who was institutionalized. And I,
I just got on this quest to uncover her story, and on the in the process kind of fell in love with this woman by reading her work and her letters, which were so delightful and charming. So what I ended up with a biography memoir hybrid, because I've given a lot of talks about Rachel Field around Maine, and when people really light up is when I start talking about all of these uncanny connections between us, which only begin with the house. And so I address letters from me to Rachel, which precede each chapter of the book. So we have her life as a National Book Award winner, Newbery Medal winner. She went to Hollywood, and one of her first books was made into a movie that was nominated for Best Picture. So she was a really rising star. And then just kind of faded from view. And I think it's because of a lot of tragedies upon tragedies that followed her death.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Robin Clifford Wood, and her book is The Field House. Is it out already or upcoming?
It came out on May 4th, and it's already in its second printing. So it's kind of getting some great attention.
Great. Well, congratulations to you. Thank you, Robin, for calling in. We have here a recommendation from Paul. The book Nightingale, by authored by Deva Fagan of Halliwell, Maine, and is for young people. So the book Nightingale. Here's an email from Bob. For me, Milltown is an appeal for climate justice, and its scope includes all company-dominated towns in Maine, such as Wilton, Maine, of the 1950s and 60s, then the home of G.H. Bass Shoes. Carrie, do you see Milltown as an appeal for climate justice?
Yeah, I mean, Milltown's in every state, or, you know, or any kind of industry, really. You know, it's trying to sort of uncover not just like what's happening in these towns, but what are the regulations that are causing these things to happen, and to really dig into how those regulations come about, and possibly how we can change them. So it's more even beyond Maine, I hope.
An email here from Beth. Some of my favorite reads recently have been The Midnight Library by Matt Haig, Shuggie Bane by Douglas Stewart, Normal People by Sally Rooney. From Maine writers, yes, Milltown. Thank you, Carrie, for writing this. I love that it gave an insider's view, including what seems like a complicated relationship with the state and town, as well as your perspective from a distance. I loved Beneficence by Meredith Hall, and am enjoying the Detective Byron series by Bruce Robert Coffin. So a second vote for Meredith Hall and a second vote for Bruce Robert Coffin. We will go now to a caller from Rich from Bar Harbor. Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to call and share that I wrote a book that came out in December called Little Big Year, Chasing Acadia's Birds. And it was about a year of bird watching here in Hancock County. And I tell stories from my life of studying birds and teaching about birds and leading bird tours. And so it's a book of storytelling. People that know me say, it sounds like they're on a tour with me. And it was just a fun endeavor to celebrate the year that was the beginning of the Maine Bird Atlas, and the year of the bird, and the anniversary of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act.
So it's called Little Big Year?
Yep. Chasing Acadia's Birds.
Okay. Terrific. And how is this spring for bird watching, Rich?
It's been really good. I was just out this morning and saw a rare bird, a scissor-tailed flycatcher, which is a southern bird, and it's here in Trenton, just off MDI. So it's been a good year for bird watching.
Well, that's great. And good luck with your book. I know it'll be popular. I know that nationally bird watching is the number one hobby in America, and I think in Maine it might be by a long shot. So thanks so much for calling in. I'm going to go to Karen calling from New Sharon. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. So I've got two books to recommend. They're sort of definitely a little bit on the harder side, just in terms of theme. But the first one is by P. DeJaley Clark. He is from the African diaspora, and it's his pen name for his fiction that he writes, and it's called Ring Shout, which is it sort of takes place at the time of the birth of the nation and the rise of the Ku Klux Klan. But it's also a bit of a body horror fantasy. It was just took me away, and it was a really interesting look into that period of time and history. And then the other book that I wanted to recommend is The Echo Wife by Sarah Gailey. She wrote Magic for Liars, and she recently wrote Upright Woman Wanted. Her new book is The Echo Wife, which is one of her most personal books, but it's a story of a woman who finds out that her husband has cloned her and then divorced the original copy. So there's some really interesting discussions about sort of a feminism of like paths not taken and patriarchy, but also just a really good thriller. So those are my recommendations.
Well, Karen, thank you for calling with those. And again, we are planning to collate all the recommendations today. Our producer, Jonathan Smith, says, please give us a little bit of time to get them together and put them on our website or our Facebook page. We have just a couple minutes left in the program, and I wanted to talk to you all about what goes on with the Read Me program after this. Today's program is definitely the kickoff for the program, but both of you are going to be giving talks, right? Carrie, yours is July 15th?
Yes, it is. I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet, but I'm going to be talking. I have a lot of other events too at small libraries that have been inviting me to come to Maine. So I'm really looking forward to doing my first live events in Maine starting next week.
Starting next week, I was going to ask when people get to come together and see authors in person. So for you, it's next week. Wonderful. Yeah. And Matt Costa, you have an event that's going to be August 19th. Is that a Zoom event or in person?
That is a Zoom event. And much like Carrie, I'm not quite sure what I'll be talking about. It'll probably just be a little bit about the book and the process, and then mostly a question and answer, I would guess, as people can weigh in with what they're asking. As well, I have probably about 25 other events planned over the course of the summer. I think 5, maybe 6 of them will be live. And I'm particularly looking forward to the live ones where I can be there in front of real people and not just a screen. So that's exciting. This Saturday, there is Crime Wave. And this kind of going back to what Jerry was talking about earlier, I think I became a mystery writer 2 years ago when I attended Crime Wave, and I said, historical fiction is not where it's at anymore. I'm going to mysteries because these are my people.
Oh, great. And Crime Wave is a conference put on by Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. All aspiring detective writers out there, Crime Wave is the place to be this weekend. I really appreciate all three of you joining us today. Good luck with all of your books. Carrie Arsenault, the author of Milltown, Reckoning with What Remains. Matt Cost, whose voice you just heard, the author of Mainly Power, the first of the Mainly Mystery Trilogy, featuring private detective Goff Landon. And Jerry Boyle is the author of 15 mystery novels, including the dozen installments of the Jack McMurrow series. Today's sound engineer was Bill Johnson with help from Stella Mars. Cindy Hahn and Jonathan Smith produced the program. For more information about our programs, to sign up for our podcast, to listen to previous programs, go to mainecalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.